You're with us for Wisconsin Weekend as we explore what Wisconsin authors are reading. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Are you struggling to focus on a book? Is it difficult to disconnect from the 24-hour news cycle and the steady current of articles and tweets and dive into a long summer read? We wonder if our Wisconsin authors are able to find refuge in a good book. Tell us about your summer reading list and how you approach the books you pick up. We're at 800-642-1234. Stephanie Bodine is a young adult and children's author writing picture books and novels for young readers. She's based in Black River Falls. Stephanie, welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Patricia Skulka is here, author of the Dave Kubiak Door County Mystery Series. We're reaching her in Milwaukee. Patricia, welcome back to you.
Thank you, Kate, and good morning.
Good morning. Katrina Sparkman is a Madison-based writer of fiction, plays, and nonfiction, joining us as well. Katrina, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Well, Katrina, let's start with you, and how about we dive right in? What are your favorite books so far this summer? What are you reading?
Well, right now I'm reading a book called Dominicana by Angie Cruz. It's a beautiful story about immigration, set in the DR, the Dominican Republic, and New York City in the 1960s.
And there's also another book on your list about the immigrant experience by Angie Cruz, Dominicana.
Yes, that's the one that I'm reading right now.
Yeah, can you tell us about this book?
Yeah, so it is it's a really nice story. It's a coming of age story about a young woman who is born and raised in the DR, the Dominican Republic, and she marries this much older man, a man who is twice her age. But this is what she needs to do for her family in order to make things better for that family. So it's and I do believe that it's based upon, it's very loosely based upon the author's mother's immigration experience.
And it's shortlisted for the Women's Prize for Fiction this year.
And I see why. It's really good.
Well, let's go to Patricia now. Patricia, what is on your reading list this summer?
Well, what I'm reading right now is a book called Miracle Creek by Angie Kim. It's a national bestseller. It's gotten all kinds of great reviews. And I write mysteries, so I tend to read mysteries, but not exclusively. And this is an interesting book because it combines mystery with a courtroom drama. And also, just as Katrina was talking about an immigrant story, this is also an immigrant story. So it's got all three elements woven together, and it takes place in West Virginia. It's really, what happens when something goes wrong, when people are trying something new. It's an experimental treatment that's supposed to cure a number of different conditions. That's why all these people have been drawn together to try this. And you learn right at the very beginning that there's a terrible accident, an explosion at the treatment center. And so the whole story as it's unfolding, I'm about a third of the way through it, is who's responsible for this? And there are any number of people who have motivations to have brought this about, including a group of protesters who really feel that this treatment center is dangerous and should be shut down. So it's an intriguing book, and it kind of reminds me of sitting in a courtroom with Perry Mason, pacing and quizzing everybody, drilling them with questions. So the story is slowly unfolding in that manner.
Oh, so you get a lot of plot and depth and still so many secrets that unfold before you in this explosion. Is this the hyperbaric chamber explosion?
Yes, it is. And it's oxygen. They're using pure oxygen to cure people. And of course, it's highly flammable. And so the whole, that's where the story begins, with this terrible accident that occurs.
Stephanie, I want to go to you. What are you reading?
Well, I recently finished one called Migrations by Charlotte McConaughey. I think she's an Australian author. And it's set in the near future, maybe 10, 15 years distant. And climate change has ravaged the planet, and basically almost all animals are gone extinct. And she's an ornithologist. and she's in Greenland tracking the very last set of Arctic terns. And so she puts radio trackers on them, and she believes that they winter somewhere where she thinks there are other animals and potentially fish, which she tops her way onto a fishing boat, convinces them that she can take them where there's fish. But there's so much more going on. She has secrets, and the crew of the boat does not know that she's running from something, and she's put them in danger by being on their boat. And it's just this incredibly beautiful story about someone who loves nature and what happens when the nature that they have loved is gone, and how they reconcile that in their own really messed up world.
Wow. What attracted you to the book?
Well, I really am interested in climate change, and I'm really interested in stories where someone is trying to find something that has disappeared, because there's always that hope that, are they going to find it? And I like stories that leave you on that chase, because you're just always hopeful and you're always on the edge of your seat wondering, are they going to find what they're looking for?
We're talking with Wisconsin authors. That is Stephanie Bodine. We have Patricia Skalka and Katrina Sparkman here. They're sharing their summer reading list. You can share yours at 800-642-1234. What are you reading so far this summer? Why are you reading it? Do you have difficulty reading books right now because it's hard to focus in stressful times? Call in. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Katrina, you are also involved in writing plays, and I'm wondering, sometimes plays can be really challenging getting through theater directions and set descriptions. What tips do you have for people who might want to take on reading a play?
Well, a couple of things. One, I think that you should really read a play as a visual work. So a lot of times when I tell my students, first of all, you should do a little research on the playwright and the time that they're writing in and what they're doing to kind of give you a sense of what's really happening in the play. Another thing you can kind of do to kind of help you when you're reading plays is that you can, and nowadays in the wake of Google and YouTube, someone somewhere has done some sort of live presentation of that work. And so sometimes that helps too, to kind of help you with the setting. If that's something that is a little difficult for you to kind of vibe with, to kind of help you see something and then to go back and read it that way.
What is your favorite play to read?
Oh, I love works by August Wilson. He is probably the quintessential playwright for me. I really enjoy Fences and just about everything he wrote. He wrote a play per the decades. But Fences is a play that really speaks to me because it was the first production that I saw. I saw it in high school in Chicago, and it was the thing that made me want to write. So yeah. Fences has a very particular resonance for me.
We are joined by Wisconsin authors this hour, hearing about their summer reading lists. Playwright and novelist there, Katrina Sparkman. We also have Patricia Skalka, author of the Dave Kubiak Door County Mystery Series. And Stephanie Bodine is here, young adult author. What have you been reading so far this summer? What are you reading now? What books do you find yourself recommending to others? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back with our authors in just a moment on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with three Wisconsin authors about their summer reading lists. Do you turn to literature because stories help you make better sense of the world? What do your book selections tell you about the human condition? What are your essential reads that provide respite and illumination in these stressful times. Be part of this, 800-642-1234. We have Wisconsin authors Stephanie Bodine, Katrina Sparkman, and Patricia Skalka who stay with us. And they have their reading list posted, by the way, at wpr.org/mornings. Patricia, I want to go to another book on your list. It is Eight Perfect Murders by Peter Swanson. Can you tell us about this book?
Oh, this is a wonderful book. I just finished, you were talking about what we were reading this summer. This is the one I just finished. First of all, it's set in Boston in winter. So there's snow and sleet and it's cold. And if you're reading it on a hot, humid day, it feels really good because, you know, remind you it's not going to be hot forever. But the plot line is that the protagonist is the owner of a bookstore, and he's also a mystery expert. And several years back, he came up with a list of unsolvable murders based on literature. So one was Agatha Christie's ABC murders, Patricia Highsmith's Strangers on a Train, a whole list of those, you know, the novels that were written with quote-unquote perfect murders. And it turns out that there are a series of people are dying, and people have been killed or dying under odd circumstances in Boston. And the FBI is investigating it, and they are linking some of these crimes. They seem to be trying to link them to his list. So they don't know if he's involved or if someone read the list on his blog and is imitating them. And so he gets drawn into this investigation. And there's a lot woven in about this classic mysteries. So people who have read them and who really do like enjoy mysteries, you would love this book because it harks back to probably some of your favorites.
Oh, it's kind of like a smorgasbord of mysteries.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, how this person died. Now, can someone who died that way, you know, okay, so here's this body and it was found under these circumstances and there's a strange link to the murder, the death that occurred in a particular book. And what's odd is that it's not just one, but it's one, then it's two, then it's three. So it's starting to look like this list is being used by someone. And it's really very intriguing. And it's told in the first person, that you know, the author, the protagonist is recalling how he got pulled into this. And then you learn his backstory. So as his backstory unfolds, he becomes maybe not such an innocent character after all. But it really was, it captivated me throughout. I was right up to the very end, which was a nice twist. If you like stories with a twist, you'll love this book.
Yeah, I can tell it hit all the buttons for you. That is Eight Perfect Murders by Peter Swanson. And we are getting summer reading lists here. That was Patricia Skalka, and she writes mysteries. Katrina Sparkman here, a playwright. Stephanie Bodine, children's author. And you can share your reading list, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Diane now in Beaver Dam. Hi, Diane.
Good morning. I'm just sitting by my radio with a pen and pencil paper writing these down. Thank you. If you are looking for a nonfiction book, so you want to talk about race, is a really easy way to get a different perspective on what's going on in the country right now. But if you want a really great fiction book, The 100-Year-Old Man Who Climbed Out the Window and Disappeared is such a fun read. I just reread it, and it just makes you feel happy in the end.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much, Diane, for those recommendations. I want to start with your first one, and Katrina, I want to field this one to you.
Yes, you said.
Katrina, let's talk about race, because a couple on your list, you know, Your Blues Ain't Like Mine and Kindred by Octavia Butler. This might fit more into the category of books that you brought to the table.
Oh, well, absolutely. All of these books, both Kindred by Octavia Butler and Your Blues Ain't Like Mine, all incorporate the idea of race. For instance, Bebe Moore Campbell's Your Blues Ain't Like Mine, it's a modern day retelling of the Emmett Till murder. She doesn't name the child who's murdered. His name is Armstrong in the book.
But it's this the retelling of this story. But she does it in a very interesting way because she talks to us from the perspective of, we see it from the viewpoint of the white woman who made the accusation. We see it from the viewpoint of the Black family and so forth. So it's a very interesting portrait, especially now knowing what we know years later, you know, when the woman who made the accusation has come out and said otherwise. So it's a very interesting, interesting book.
Because it parallels history and really has references to actual incidents that occurred during the civil rights movement.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, it does. And Kindred is a interesting book because it's science fiction. Right. Mm-hmm. And Octavia Butler she's since passed away now, but she made her mark as an African-American woman writing in science fiction, which was a very male dominated genre. And she said, you know, I didn't even know it was called science fiction. I just wrote a book about extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. And it just so happened that it was called science fiction. But her tale, Kindred, is about time travel. And it's this African-American woman who is catapulted into slavery days. And every time she is propelled back into the past and she comes back, you know, she comes back with physically changed, you know, so she's missing limbs. She's, you know, it's a really fascinating tale, and it's certainly one worth reading.
Well, let's take another call now. Sherry is in Madison. Hi, Sherry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I am an author reader, and my question to the authors is, if there is a book which you think has been recommended to you as really good, maybe you started it, but it's just not capturing you, but you feel that you should read it, what strategies do you all have for compelling yourself to go ahead and read the book?
Oh, great question. Stephanie Bodine, why don't you start?
Well, for one thing, I think the cool thing about books is that if we all like to read the same thing, there would be about four books. So fortunately, there's lots of different books. But when there is a book that someone recommends and I feel I should read, first, I used to be the person that felt if I opened up a book, I couldn't stop until it was finished. Like, I couldn't set it aside. And as I got older, I realized there are way too many wonderful books to spend time on one that is maybe not catching me. And so I think I'm one of those people now that has allowed myself to not finish a book if it's just not there. But if it's something like that I have to read, like for a project I'm doing or something, I guess I just would take it in smaller increments, and that way you kind of maintain some of the interest instead of forcing yourself to take it all in one big chunk.
Oh, that's great advice. Sherry, what do you write about, if I may ask?
I write love stories. I write fiction. Love changes, love dreams, love promises.
Oh, that's great. How long have you been writing?
Since about 2000, mm-hmm. and published in 2007.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Sherry. Patricia, is there anything else you'd like to add?
The only thing I would add would be that sometimes if I'm in that kind of situation, I will skim and you know, just kind of go through very quickly just to get the gist of the story. If for some reason I just can't feel like I'm getting anything even doing that, I try to analyze, well, what is it about this book that is not resonating with me? You know, obviously someone put a lot of time and effort into it, and you don't want to like ignore that, because writing is not an easy task. And so it's like, you know, that's why, you know, Stephanie said that we have 32 flavors of ice cream because everybody likes a different flavor. But what is it? And so should I avoid books like this in the future, or is there still something I can gain from it? Maybe it's the research that the person did or the descriptions. I try to look for at least some positive element that I can pull from it and appreciate.
Katrina Sparkman, how do you get through a book that's just not holding you?
Yeah, so sometimes there are things that just don't hold your attention because, you know, you don't vibe with the style, or but there are times when there are books I feel like one should read, particularly when it comes to nonfiction. The caller before had referenced some books that would relate to what things that are happening right now, you know, and there are some really good books out there about what's happening right now. You know, I'm thinking about The New Jim Crow or Just Mercy, or, and sometimes these subjects can be so daunting that we find it hard to get through. And so when I find myself in a situation like that, what I do is I will turn to the audio version of the book. And sometimes receiving the information audibly helps me digest it a little better.
We have three authors with us on this Wisconsin Weekend, and we'll continue this discussion of reading lists after this news update on the Ideas Network. It's time for summer reading on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're exchanging our summer reading lists, and we have three Wisconsin authors guiding us through their selections. My daughter and I are reading The Tale of Magic by Chris Colfer. It explores justice and compassion themes that absolutely resonate now. And this was her book group's reading selection. We're reading it out loud together. It's about this character, Bristol Evergreen, who rebels against her world where women have no rights and they're barred from reading, and where people who do magic are condemned, automatically condemned. So we're 350 pages into it, and I thank her teacher for the recommendation and for leading the girls in a book group. Are you reading a book with your child? What are the two of you exploring together? Join in 800-642-1234. We have Wisconsin authors Katrina Sparkman, Patricia Skulka, and Stephanie Bodine. Stephanie, I want to go back to you and your list. You have a book here I'm really interested in, The Changeling. Can you tell us about that one?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. This is one of my favorite books. One thing I found when this whole pandemic started is that I had a tough time focusing on new information. Plus, I was a little limited by books. The library was closed, and I had recently had a lot of my bookings canceled, so I didn't want to drop a lot of money on books. And so I went back to some favorites just because sometimes it was a little easier to focus when, even though you hadn't read something for a while, it wasn't like starting over brand new. You didn't have to have 100% focus, and you could get right back into it. So The Changeling is this amazing book. It's about a young man named Apollo. And when he's a child, his father just disappears one day when he's 4. And as he grows up a little bit, when he's a little bit older, a box is left on the doorstep, and it's from his father. And one of the things in there is the children's book by Maurice Sendak called Outside Over There. And this picture book is about a little girl who goes chasing after goblins when they steal her little sister. So anyway, he grows up and he ends up being an antiquarian with books. So he is a used book salesman, and he gets married, and he and his wife have a baby, but his wife begins acting really strangely. And one day he comes home and she is gone, and it appears she has killed their baby. So he goes through some pretty rough times, but he begins to wonder if his wife and baby are still alive. And this book, man, near the end, you do not want to be like home alone at night reading this book. But it is, again, it's got that theme of someone searching for something that all facts say is gone, but maybe his baby is still out there. Maybe his wife is still out there. And it is just a wonderful book. Like, the New York Times called it strange and wonderful, and NPR called it enchanting. It was absolutely one of my favorites of the past year.
Patricia, have you read this? This is like right up your alley.
No, I haven't, but I'm writing it down quickly. Sounds like something I'd love to read.
I think so. I think this is definitely one you should pick up. I want to go back to another one of your selections here, The Secret History, Patricia, and this is Donna Tartt.
Yes.
Why is this one on your list?
Well,
first of all, it's like magnificently written. It was her first novel, and it was just mind-boggling how wonderfully put together it was, or it is. And it is a mystery. It's would be called a murder, a mystery in reverse, or an inverted mystery, because you know from the very first page that, you know the person who's been killed, and you know there's a body found, and you know who it is. And then the whole story that unwinds is the reasoning behind it, who was involved and why, and the impact that it had on their lives. And this takes place at a small college in like Vermont or New Hampshire, somewhere up in New England, probably in the 70s at some point in time. And the protagonist is a young man from California who grew up in kind of a plastic world and is so desperate to latch on to things that have depth, and what he views as depth and meaning and some sense of history to them. And so he becomes involved with this group of students, very specialized small group of students who study ancient Greek with this professor. And everything about it is very cliquish, and he feels so honored to be included in this group. But of course, they are the group that are responsible for everything that's happening. And it just... She just takes you through this long, winding story of who these characters are and why they feel so unique. The one strides through. Now, this is, you know, this is an era where people are wearing tie-dyed and smoking marijuana and their hair is long. And this one of the characters wears French cufflinks and pressed shirts, and the other strides through campus wearing this long black kind of duster coat. I mean, they just stand out. And it, why? And what's going on in their minds, and how are they interacting with each other? And how is this young man from California, who this is such a strange foreign world to him, how he's swept up in the glamour of it? I've read it a couple of times. I think it's just a phenomenal book.
I was looking a little bit at the background of the author, and, you know, even her background is kind of interesting. She was born and raised in Mississippi and then found her way to New York. And I just wonder about her influences here in writing the book.
Well, she attended I think she went to college. It's based on Bennington, which is where that's where she went. And I just have this feeling that, you know, there's this whole sense of Southern writers growing up in this like milieu of storytelling. And I have a feeling that she just came from that.
I do too.
She took that
mm-hmm.
talent and kind of just that innate ability and wove this marvelous story from it. She's written three books, you know, the most recent one being The Goldfinch, and it takes her about a decade. So it's three books over the course of 30 years. And they're just all very complex and very well developed. So I think she's got, she's just an amazing asset to our literature world in this country.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Wisconsin authors, three of them, Patricia Skalka there. We have Stephanie Bodine and Katrina Sparkman. They are sharing their summer reading list. You can share yours at 800-642-1234. Katrina, you were alluding to this a bit earlier about reading books that are difficult, books that might take more time, more focus. What are your thoughts on doing that now during the pandemic and, you know, just taking on something challenging?
That's a really good question. I would say, you know, this is a time where everyone needs to be really good to themselves. Stephanie mentioned this, going back and revisiting old books. Revisiting old books can be like revisiting old friends mm-hmm. right now. And sometimes when you're in a situation where things are unsure, you want things that are certain, right? I know how this book is going to end. That's why I love this book. That's why I read this book the first time I read it through. And so I think there's a certain beauty in that. But when it comes to, you know, difficult reads, I think of Toni Morrison is the author that I think of when I think of difficult reads. Absolutely. Lyrical writing, beautiful writing, important works that we need to read.
But Toni is not the kind of author that you can lay on the beach and read. Sometimes you feel like you need a pen and a highlighter and a dictionary to read Toni Morrison, right?
Right, and, right. That's why you read it in college.
Yeah, you read it in college. But, you know, the thing about Toni Morrison, she is a beautiful reader of her own works. So anytime you get an audiobook of one of Toni Morrison's books, she's reading it. And so you experience it in a whole nother different way. And so that's one of the things that I would say about difficult things that you really want to read, you want to experience it. You know, look at doing it in a different format. You know, audiobooks are, that's still reading books. You know, you're still ingesting the book. And sometimes, you know, you want to give your eyes a rest and you want to just sit and close your eyes and get into a story. An audiobook, I think, is the best way to do it.
You're making me laugh because it wasn't long ago where I took the bluest eye off the bookshelf and I opened it up, and sure enough, there were all my notes in the margins, all of the highlighting. Certainly, yes. I must have been about to write a paper or something like that. You know, I want to go back to you, Stephanie, because you write for children. You know, what should we be thinking about? I know I'm reading a book aloud to my daughter right now. How should we approach, you know, children's books right now in the pandemic?
Well, I love what Katrina had to say about rereading books, and it's like visiting an old friend. And it's so true. And I think right now there are so many uncertainties for kids, like, are they going to be able to go back to a classroom this fall and things like that. And I agree with Katrina that we need to be good to ourselves. We need to be good to our kids too, and let them read things that they are excited to read, things that make them happy, things that get them excited about books. That is what I would say, is it's not the time to be like, oh, let's try something new. Let's try a challenge. I think for the vast majority, have them read stuff that they can close the book when they're finished and feel happy and feel good.
Yeah, just devour what they love and go toward books that really attract them and hold them.
Absolutely.
We have three Wisconsin authors talking about what they're choosing to read in this summer amid the pandemic. That's Stephanie Bodine, children's author; Patricia Skulka, mystery writer; Katrina Sparkman, a novelist, playwright. What books do you think people absolutely need to read this summer? How has the pandemic changed your reading tendencies? Do you juggle multiple books at once? Tell us about your reading mix. How do you do that? How do you juggle books at once? That's hard for me. Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. We will be back in a minute. More conversation here on the Ideas Network. Summer reading lists here on the morning show. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Do you need a healthy dose of escapism? Are you reading books that only have closure, happy endings maybe? What kind of characters help you make sense of the world? Still time to join in on your summer reading list, 800-642-1234. We have Patricia Skulka, Stephanie Bodine, and Katrina Sparkman, and we're reaching them in where they live, Patricia in Milwaukee, Stephanie in Black River Falls, and Katrina in Madison. Katrina, we were talking there about Toni Morrison, and another one on your list, and, you know, how we like to reread books maybe right now. Their Eyes Were Watching God, Zora Neale Hurston. What do you love about Zora Neale Hurston?
Oh, man. Hmm. Now you're kind of talking about my jam. I love Zora Neale Hurston. I love everything about her. Zora Neale Hurston, Their Eyes Were Watching God, it's such a beautiful lyrical book. You know, sometimes people say, well, because she actually writes in the dialect of the people who's speaking. And, you know, some of the criticisms of the book was like, well, we don't understand. We can't kind of get into it. But once you get into the story, it is just so beautiful and just wonderful. Zora Neale Hurston, and if it were not for Alice Walker, most of us wouldn't even know who Zora Neale Hurston was, because she was a writer who, you know, was working during the Harlem Renaissance. And she was one of those very rare people who could make their living by their art. You know, she's out here working and writing. But she died, and when she died, she was buried in an unmarked grave. And it was Alice Walker who went and found her grave and purchased a headstone for her, and really kind of revived her works for us so that we could know about Mule Bone and Their Eyes Were Watching God and all of those things. And also, these writers, I also want to say that these writers were, for the most part, they were self-published, what we would call indie authors today.
Yeah.
And their works have become wonderful parts of the canon. When you think about Zora Neale Hurston and Richard Wright and those people who, and Langston Hughes even, these were people who would be considered indie authors today.
Let's bring in Chris in Ridgeville. Hi, Chris.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I was just calling in. That is my favorite book of all time. I've probably read it about 6 times. Their Eyes Were Watching God. I read it about every 5 to 6 years. And it's the story that every time I go back to it, it's a totally different book. You pick up things you can't believe you missed the first time. And then I really love the story behind the story. The fact that it was written by a woman, a Black woman in the 30s. And that just, I guess today, that just says a lot about where we need to be. You know, I mean, that is, it just brings me to tears. That is just my favorite book.
Oh, Chris, thank you so much for sharing that. And Katrina, you know, Chris finds something new every time she opens it.
Yes, that is beautiful. It's absolutely wonderful. The story is about Janie. She's the main character. And it's her coming of age story. And, you know, it's set in this all Black town in Florida. And her husband is the mayor of this town. And she, you know, she gets through this one marriage. And then it's wonderful. I totally advise, if you haven't read Their Eyes Were Watching God, I'm with the caller here. You should read it. You should read it often. It's a beautiful book. And there was a movie made. The movie's never as good as the book. But it is a very, very wonderful book about voice and about finding one's voice.
So important. Stephanie, I want to get to one more of yours here, The River by Peter Heller, which takes place, I guess, on a river in College Friends on a canoe trip.
It does. And this is one of those, once you start, you can't put it down. And I've read Peter Heller's other books, The Painter, Celine. He's one of those that when I hear he has a new one out, I go and get it. And so these two friends are on the river and they're having a really great time before college starts in the fall. And there's a big wildfire coming and they realize they've got to get down the river fast. But they pass a campsite where a man and a woman are arguing and they're like, oh, they'll figure out that there's a fire coming. But then the next day, the man comes and he's alone. And they say, where's your wife? And he's like, oh, I don't know. She's just gone. And they decide to go back and they find her, and the husband's left her for dead. So now they have a race trying to get the woman out, trying to avoid her husband and the fire that is coming. And it is just one of those you cannot put down.
Oh, wow. That sounds like kind of edge of your seat stuff. Like you'll have to keep going into the wee hours of the morning to finish.
Absolutely. And you just kind of it's one of those that is riveting. And I really, really loved it.
So I want to go to another book that, Patricia, is on your list. The Polish Officer, Alan First, is the author of The Polish Officer. What do you see in this book?
Ellen first writes this, it's like a series of World War II espionage novels, but it's a series in the sense that they're all set in the same period and under those same circumstances. But each one has very different characters, so you don't have like a continuing protagonist. But what I like about them is that it really, these books just take me out of myself and take me away from everything that's going on in my life right now or everything that's going on in our world right now to a time when people, I mean, we think we have difficulties. And here's a man, like a Polish officer, he is recruited by the intelligence service of the Polish underground, and his mission is to transport the whole national gold reserve of the country to safety in Bucharest because the Nazis have invaded Poland. And he's got this gold hidden on a train full of refugees. And they're wending this rickety old train, wending its way down, you know, through Europe to the south to get to safety. And it's an era where, you know, he's wearing a uniform he shouldn't be wearing. And if you've got the wrong buttons on your uniform, if your shoes aren't right, if you speak with an accent that's slightly off, any of those things, you know, any small symbol can make you suspect and can cause you, you know, to be arrested, to be killed. I mean, people live on the edge of danger like every single minute in his books. And it's just... you know, Stephanie used the word riveting, and that's the word I would use for these, for what Ellen first writes. So he's got Mission to Paris. He's got the Polish officer. There's a whole bunch of them, Kingdom of Shadows, and they're all in this world that we can barely even imagine. People living in with deadly danger like every second. So I think they're wonderful escapism. They're thrillers, they're espionage, they're spy novels, and he really does evoke that era beautifully.
What do you get out of his character development? What do you see there?
I see people who are noble and honorable under conditions that would, where it would be so easy to take the easy route, to look out just for yourself, to worry about getting your you know, just take, making sure you don't get killed. And they're always working for the greater good. And that, I think, is something we lose track of in this era, or we, you know, some people do, or it's easy to do that. You know, you worry about your family as opposed to worrying about your community. You know, we sometimes don't see that we're all in this together, and all of his characters are working for a greater good, and they're putting their lives in danger, and they're adhering to their ideals in a way that just, I mean, it's very inspiring. And what I find is, you know, I read these books and I think to myself, what the heck would I do under those circumstances? Would I have that courage? Would I have that ability? Would I be that together that I could sustain this struggle?
Oh, well, we have to leave it there. And what a place to end. Thank you all for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
That was Patricia Skalka, author of the Dave Kubiak Door County Mystery Series, Katrina Sparkman, a playwright and novelist, Stephanie Bodine, author of picture books and novels for young readers. We have their list, WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.